Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and to know your voice. Open our hearts and strengthen our wills to ensure your word will not return to you empty. Amen. Good morning. We hear again from Isaiah this morning, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. These are very familiar words from Isaiah. Rain and snow, seeds and sprouting, sowing and watering, as is the parable we heard today in Matthew's Gospel about sowing seed and seeking a fruitful harvest. No, you haven't tuned in to Garden Sunday, but it could very well be. We have been living in very strange times, especially these past 4 months or so. While we haven't been exiled from our home country like the Israelites in our Old Testament reading, we all have had to endure some unusual hardships and fearful situations. After the siege and the fall of Jerusalem in 598 BC, and the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed in 588 BC, the Israelites fled to Egypt and Babylon. They weren't able to return until Cyrus made the decree in 538 BC, some 50 or more years later. Let's try to put this into perspective with our own times today. We've endured a little more than 4 months of the coronavirus pandemic. More than 3.5 million infections in the United States, and a staggering and shocking 137,000 deaths. More than 48 million Americans unemployed, with many facing little hope of ever getting their jobs back, and an economy in recession with little hope of recovery in the near future. If that isn't enough, add to it the recent protests demanding justice and equality in every city in our nation after the brutal police killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Rayshard Brooks, and so many others we all remember. The racially charged death of unarmed Ahmaud Arbery by three white supremacists in Georgia. And the hate-filled racial accusation of a black Central Park birdwatcher, Christian Cooper, by a white and privileged Amy Cooper. And I won't even begin to bring politics and national leadership into the discussion, nor our failed criminal justice system, and our plague of gun violence and endless killings. Only 4 recent months for most of us right now. Certainly many decades, if not centuries, for our unjust criminal justice system and systemic gun violence, and over 4 centuries of slavery and oppression for our black and brown siblings. The Jews endured in exile for 50 or 60 years. This certainly isn't a competition to see who endured more challenging lives, hardships, and injustice. What we do have in common, however, is a God who is continually providing for us, especially during the most challenging and fearful times. It's interesting and reassuring at the same time that the message Isaiah proclaimed from God to the Israelite people then is still a timely message for us today. God's word is not going to return back to God empty, without accomplishing what God had intended for it. There will be fruitfulness for all of God's people, despite the hardships. Today's Gospel from Matthew has Jesus telling us a parable about seed and different kinds of growing conditions and how God expects us to be fruitful and abundant. It was a popular story that Jesus told. Mark and Luke also write about it in their Gospels. From the numerous times we have heard this Gospel, we probably have come to understand that our desired role in this parable is to be the good and fertile soil. Yes, I agree. It's pretty obvious. But I'd like us to take a few minutes and explore another perspective. Who is really who in the story? Maybe we have a different role than just being the good and fertile soil. Yes, I'm sure we can all agree that at some point in our lives, we could also be described as the hard pavement, the rocky ground, or the thistle-choked plot. That can be a sermon for another time. But let's explore. Is God the sower of the seed, God's holy word? Or is Jesus the sower? Are you and I the receivers of the seed? Or could it possibly be you and I are the sowers? It's really not very clear in the parable, so I think we can take some liberties and think outside our popular understanding of determining just who is who and who can we really be. I'd really like us to think for a few moments that we are. We are, in fact, the sowers in God's kingdom here on earth. After all, God has already sown the seed from the moment of creation. God is always reseeding and recreating newness of life. It's a big task, one that only God can really do. God spreads seed abundantly, just as God's mercy is spread abundantly. God has been and continues to be very generous and lavish in sowing. And God is certainly not partial where the seed is spread. It just goes everywhere with the intent and expectation it will all somehow come to bear fruit, no matter hard pavement, rocky ground, life-choking environments, or fertile soil. God is faithfully generous and optimistic. And Jesus has already done his part in the seeding process. He has nurtured the seed in us by watering, fertilizing, and pruning us. And he has encouraged us and taught us how to be faithful and fruitful. He has planted the seeds of his love, peace, hope, joy, forgiveness, mercy, and compassion within us. We have been seeded with Christ's wisdom, presence and perseverance, his unfailing courage and gentleness, healing and reconciliation, his integrity and authenticity. And my list could go on. Jesus has reconciled us to God, and he has shown us the way to eternal life. We have the potential of becoming very fruitful, 30 or 60 or 100 fold. That's an abundant return. So God continues with God's special part, always recreating, and Jesus continues to show us how to live as loving siblings. That now puts us in the position of doing our part, being co-creators of our world with God, Jesus, and each other, so that we can be an active participant in the sowing of justice and love in our little part of the world. To the very bruised, hurting, and chaotic world that I described earlier. My message today is that I believe we can get beyond the three unfavorable and unfruitful soil conditions described in the parable. With the aid of perhaps some work gloves, a garden tiller, and a garden fork, maybe a hoe and a wheelbarrow to toss in all the unwanted rocks and stones and choking thorns and weeds into, we could really make our world abundantly fruitful. Let us work hard to be the good, fertile, and fruitful soil that God has always intended of us. And let us be the generous sowers of the seed, the bearers of God's holy word. Let us be the example of Jesus Christ living among us to all God's people. We, you and I, must be the seed sowers in God's continual recreating of our earthly home. God expects us to be co-creators in making our world a flourishing and fruitful place to live and love. Let us sow seeds that will root us and others deeply in a commitment to serve others. We know the work is seldom easy, but we also know we have the God-given ability and the talent to make our communities successful and fruitful. Let us sow seeds that will serve our homeless population in their time of need. Let us sow seeds that will assist the unemployed in finding gainful employment. Let us sow seeds that will bring justice and equality to our oppressed siblings, standing up, speaking out, and walking alongside those on the racial divides, the marginally forgotten, and our LGBTQ siblings. And certainly make the promise for ourselves and encourage our neighbors to vote in early August and in November, to let our voices and expectations be known. Let the seeds we sow soften the hard hearts of many, including ourselves, and remove all the stumbling rocks and stones that are intentionally set to make life more challenging for others. The unjust and the racially charged policies that do not ensure a level playing field. Let's work to cultivate the rocky soil into the more fertile and fruitful soil that God has intended. Let's fill our wheelbarrow with the rocks and stones of injustice, racism, and distrust. The only change we can affect is the change we make in our own hearts and minds. We must rid this weed and thorn-riddled plot of ground of the hate, distrust, and killing that dwells deep within us, and replace it with the trust that God has got this covered, that God will be with us through all the difficult and dark times, and that we should not be afraid or feel overwhelmed. Trust in God's endless love for us. Farmers, gardeners, landscapers, creation's caretakers, or whatever you wish to be called, we must do our part in sowing the seeds of justice, equality, mercy, forgiveness, and love within our own plot of ground, and partner with God in seeding this vast world in need. We should never be concerned, however, with the harvest yield. We may never see the fruitfulness of our efforts. It may take years or decades for the fruit to truly bear. However, we must not be discouraged, and we must begin. We must continue the good work that is already present in our world and our community. Progress is being made. The Confederate flag is making some exit in our culture, and in particular on the state flag in Mississippi and at NASCAR events. There continues to be daily marches and protests in all of our cities and towns demanding justice for our black siblings and an end to police brutality and horrific killings. And just recently, the Dakota Access Pipeline was shut down, giving a long-awaited break to our Native American siblings. Growth and change may take centuries and generations, but we must continue to sow anyway, with reckless and indiscriminate generosity, and never stop. We must trust that God's work is taking place in and under the surface of some of the most unfavorable ground we have to overcome. God, my dear siblings, will bring forth the harvest, and we are assured it will be abundant. God's holy word will not return empty. Amen.